Well, hi there, and welcome to the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I hope that you're talking about that. I hope that you're talking about the love that he has for the entire world that he showed for us, of course, on the cross. And we're going to be talking about, in connection with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. It's our monthly First Friday broadcast on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani. Hey, Deb.
Hello, Jerry. And yes, I love this show for discussing the entire hour, the real presence of Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist. We would love to hear your thoughts on this, your feelings, what you've experienced, what you know, what you want to share with the world. This is the time to do it. This is a worldwide platform, and it's an opportunity for you, the lay faithful, to come together and to share and to help others grow in their understanding of the Eucharist, which is the source and summit of the Christian life. Here is the number to dial. Please do not get started with your weekend yet. We need your help. 833-288-3986.
Well, as we always say, there are any number of angles that we can come at the real presence of Jesus in terms of discussing it and sharing what is on your mind or your heart. You could maybe you want to give a shout out to the whole world about having maybe come back to the faith. Maybe you walked away from the Eucharist at one point and you have come back because you learned the truth, the biblical truth, the historical truth, that the Eucharist really is the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. If you spend time in Eucharistic adoration, tell us why that is, and maybe share some of the graces that you've received in your life. So many different ways we can come at this. Here's the phone number. We'd like to see these lines filled up quickly today. It's a great opportunity to honor Jesus' real presence with you doing the honoring at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And Jerry shared that today is the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We want to definitely thank Pope Pius IX for establishing this feast that comes a week after Corpus Christi to spread the Sacred Heart devotion of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And I will tell you that Jerry is spot on how it all ties in to the Eucharist. Remember, in Eucharistic miracles, when they inspect them, when they investigate them, what part of the miracle is Jesus? His heart muscle. Okay, that is what becomes evident under the microscopes, and it is unbelievable, Jerry. And so it all ties into this beautiful feast day today of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So if you want to talk about that, maybe the First Friday devotions, the promises that were given to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, feel free to do that as well, because it all ties in beautifully together at 833-288-3986. Don't you just love that about the Eucharistic miracles, and that it's Jesus's heart muscle?
Absolutely. These should be making the nightly news, you know, and of course, things like these are miracles. Miracles don't happen just every day. But, you know, it's just not going to make the non-Catholic, non-Christian news, for they have their reasons for that, obviously. But we certainly hear about them on EWTN a lot. And we were happy to proclaim the Eucharistic miracles. And we are happy to welcome you to this broadcast today. Half the phone line's full. That means some lines are still open. 833-288-3986. If you've seen the new movie, Jesus Thirst movie, give us your thoughts on that. Perhaps you have been, I don't know, maybe you've been in a conversation with someone who is either a fallen away Catholic or a non or anti-Catholic, and they challenged you on the teaching of the real presence of Jesus. If you weren't quite sure, weren't quite equipped with what to say, we can talk about that a little bit as well. So a lot of ways to come at this. If you do a particular preparation before receiving the real presence at the Mass or some kind of a special Thanksgiving prayer, inspire us with those too at 833-288-3986.
It was a limited release on the Eucharist movie, Jerry, only 3 days in the theaters. And I understand, I heard the most recent reviews and surveys that people really filled the theaters, which was great. And they had just an overwhelmingly positive response, very emotional response. So mm-hmm. I'd love to hear anybody who has, unfortunately, Marty and I, we were going to go last night, and we only had, after I went to the eye doctor, and we only could get one seat, so we decided it wasn't fair for just me to go see it. So, it was full, completely full, which was great. Did you see it?
You know what? The fact that it was limited release limited my opportunity to see it, and I could mm-hmm. not. I had the time carved out to go yesterday afternoon, and as things happen in parish ministry life, things just got a little bit crazy, and I simply wasn't able to do it. But I've talked to a lot of people who saw it, and like you, even our parochial vicar, Father Edgar Serrano, saw the movie, and he just raved about it. So hopefully we'll see a little more theater time, or one day be released in a way that we can more of us can watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And in case you don't know what we're talking about, it's a documentary that was released on June 4th, 5th, and 6th. So it just ended last night. And it's Jesus Thirst, the Miracle of the Eucharist. It's about a 2-hour documentary on the Eucharist. And I guess Dr. Scott Hahn and others were all part of it, which is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look at the phone lines. That's fabulous, too. A lot of you have something to say about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't we want to proclaim this to the whole world? We have a global platform here on EWTN Radio. We are so blessed to be able to have this. And as you look around at the world, at the culture, maybe the area where you live right now, we got a lot of other things being, quote unquote, celebrated, you know, in the month of June and on some of these weeks. And then there's just some very, you know, some are very worthwhile things to go, certain things that have their own week or month or whatever, but some maybe not so much. But here we are in the month of June dedicated to the Sacred Heart, and we want to really get our Catholic voice out there, and you are going to do that. You're coming in strong here. Mm-hmm. We will get to you in just a few minutes. So Michael and Betsy and Suzanne and Stephanie and Matt is still screening other calls, Debbie, so it should be a lively conversation.
Yeah, I just love the way the Take-Two family does respond, and we asked you not to get started with your weekend yet, and you are doing just that. This is our Real Presence show on the first Friday of June, and it is an exciting time to come together and talk about the Most Holy Eucharist as a Take-Two family, so we really want your call at 833-288-3986. You hear that music? When we come back, we're getting to the phones, and we are going to hear what your takes are on the Eucharist today on Take Two.
It is so great to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, on this Friday, first Friday of the month, we are celebrating the Sacred Heart of Jesus today, the Solemnity, and also the Real Presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, which we do on the first Friday of every month. So hang on, we will get to you here in just a moment. I want to let you know, though, that Charles Carroll of Carrollton, the American Revolutionary, it's a new release from EWTN Publishing, the story of the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence, and it's written by Father Charles Connor. In this masterfully written biography, Father Connor brilliantly sets the stage for Carroll's extraordinary life by examining his ancestry, the origins of the United States, and the story of its founding. You will learn about the pursuit of religious liberty in the Maryland colony in the face of marginalization, the ways Carroll advocated for moral principles and natural rights as first citizen, and much more. The story of the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence by Father Charles Connor, available at EWTNRC.com. Please, folks, buy Catholic. All right, shop EWTNRC.com.
Okay, all righty. We're going to get to the phones right now. And first up here on Take Two on this Real Presence show today, which is we want to really change the world with this show today. So let's go. Michael is up first and from Saratoga, Florida. Jerry, please wave to Michael on YouTube. Hi, Michael.
Hey,
welcome
Michael
to the program.
Good afternoon. Bon après-midi. How we been?
Good. How are you?
And actually, you were right the first time. It is Saratoga, New York.
It said Florida here. Do you like Florida? That's what I need to know. So Saratoga, no. New York. There you go.
Oh, yeah, which is a busy hopping town these days, kind of given the the fact that we got the Belmont being run here tomorrow because they got the track is where it's usually run is shut down for 2 years for construction. But that's neither here nor there. There's something more important that I want to talk about, and that was the film that I saw just this past week on the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. On the film Jesus Thirst from Spirit Hearts Filled Ministry or something like that with Deacon Stephen Greco from the Diocese of Orange. And let's put it to you this way. If this ever comes out either on a DVD or a streaming, I'm going to have to take another look at it because there was just so much that I couldn't get it all in one sitting. And usually I have a tendency, if I end up at the movies, to fall asleep. I never fell asleep during this presentation at all. And to me, it was a bargain for $18 for the ticket that I paid for. So,
what especially struck you? I mean, I'm sure there were dozens, maybe hundreds of scenes or moments, Michael, but you seem to be actually very deeply impacted by having seen the movie. So at what level did this really strike you in such a profound way?
Too many to count.
Yeah. Pick one if you can.
Yeah. Well, actually, the one that kind of got my attention was the scenes that were actually done not that far from here. I didn't get a chance to get to it, but it was the when they had the State Eucharistic Congress out in Orristville back last October. They actually had a presentation. They actually showed some clips from that. So that was a little interesting, and I was talking to somebody that I knew from church who was actually at that thing, and they said they were given some specific instructions not to do certain things that they otherwise would have done because of this presentation. But boy, woo! As I said, you couldn't even. I mean, you know, this is a bargain when you knew you want to see this again, but you didn't have as many opportunities to kind of see it in the movie theater. But as I said, if it comes out like as a DVD or as a streamer, I'm certainly going to be getting it because there's some other things. Plus, they actually, at the conclusion of it, did a mini feature regarding Our Lady of Guadalupe as quote unquote the woman of the Eucharist that was presented by the Knights of Columbus.
Nice. Michael, let me ask you a question. In New York, was the theater full?
Here was the situation that actually kind of when I may have been the first person to reserve a ticket for that thing because it basically showed a wide open theater when I actually purchased my ticket. I was talking to somebody and he said there was about five people that had basically pre-ordered their tickets. However, there was quite a few people that came in at the showing and this was like at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
So I would say we had about 60 people, which is even with some of the blockbusters like the Star Wars films and what have you, I would suspect there was probably quite a few walk-ups to the ticket counter here.
Great.
Yeah. That's how it was here in Arizona too, Michael and Jerry. Same thing, the walk-ups, because that's what Marty and I did. The interesting thing, though, is, you know, these limited releases, they're in the smaller theaters. And what I mean by that, they're in the big major theater companies, but the actual theater itself, the actual where they're seeing it, is a smaller stadium, if you will. Is that what you call it? Seating?
The viewing room or whatever. There's just fewer seats in that particular part
of
the theater.
So, yes, I mean, 60, that's good. That's really good. Thank you so much, Michael, for weighing in on this. And because you called in, we have others that are going to be sharing their reviews of Jesus Thirst as well, which I think is wonderful. I love how this is turning into that because it gives people an idea so they can be on the lookout for the movie when it comes to the home.
Yep. 833-288-3986. 3986, Friday, first Friday, take two with Jerry and Debbie and you, talking all things real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Betsy is next, listening in Spokane, Washington on Sacred Heart Radio. What a great day to be listening to Sacred Heart Radio, Betsy. How are you?
Doing fine, Jerry, and I wanted to let you know, I'm going to continue the discussion with Jesus Thirst. Jimmy and I went to see it at the Regal Theater in the Northtown Mall. It's a fairly small theater, but the theater wasn't as full as we would have liked. But I will tell you that I will never, ever, ever receive the Eucharist the same way again.
Wow.
Aside from the fact that you have heavy hitters, you had Father Don Calloway, you had Father Chris Ahlar, you had Scott Hahn. They all had phenomenal things to say about the Eucharist. But what they did was they started with the prefigurement, starting with Melchizedek, and they went up to Jesus' own words in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. And you can see how it all ties together. Mm-hmm. And also, too, I mean, Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood." He didn't say this is a symbol. One thing I've learned from watching The Chosen is Jesus was a straight shooter. If he had meant it to be a symbol, he would have said that.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said was, "This is my body, this
That's
is
right.
my blood."
Mm-hmm.
And people backed off. They walked away from him. And he didn't backpedal and say, "Hey, guys, I only meant this as a symbol. I was only, you know..." He turned to the apostles and he said, "Are you guys going to walk away too?" And Peter spoke up and said, "No, you have the words of life." So, mm-hmm. I mean, and it was so sad because they said 33% of Catholics believe in the real presence. I mean, how could people sit in the pews as Catholics and only 33% believe in the real presence? That's crazy. I mean, come on, guys, really?
Well, Betsy, let me ask you this question, and thank you for giving us some of the details of the film, and we appreciate that so very much. Was there? I got a couple questions for you. The first one was at the end of the viewing, did they share if this was going to be back in the theaters after they did some of the reviews to see if they could bring it back into the theaters? Did they say anything about that? That's the first question. Second question is, you said you will never receive the Eucharist the same way again. Could you describe for us the feeling that you have now as you approach the doors of the church, as you enter in for Mass? Can you try to describe that feeling for us? And the reason why I say that is because I think it could help those people that have doubts and don't believe. They need to start understanding what it really means. Can you answer those two questions? Yeah.
Okay. First off, I'll take your first question first, Debbie. They said they were going to try to have more dates and more theaters. They weren't. They're really pushing for that. Mm-hmm. The initial release was June 4th, 5th, and 6th, and we went on Wednesday the 5th. And what I also saw was the initial review on YouTube, and they said the same thing. They were going to try to get more theaters to take it so that it would circulate, much the way The Chosen has done. But I'll tell you this. I'm a convert from the Anglican Church, and so I've been a Catholic for 23 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And the main thing that brought me into the church in the first place was the Eucharist.
Mm,
because I had a good friend of mine. I went to a parish mission, and a good friend of mine lent me a tape series from Scott Hahn. And I was evangelical Anglican, and I'm a researcher, so I did a lot of digging in the scriptures, and over it was like, you know, Jesus said this, so if Jesus said it, that's all you need to know. But I mean, it's going to hurt, but I'm going to try to take the Eucharist on my knees in the pew if I can, because I mean, I was in tears, Debbie. I was in tears. I mean,
Wow.
Not just because of all the people that I thought, you know, don't believe, but I mean, the imagery was beautiful. I mean, they showed the one miracle from, I'm probably going to mess up the pronunciation, but Lanciano.
Lanciano, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a very famous one that goes back many, many centuries. Betsy, I just wanted to comment on one thing that you said, and you are right. There are different polls that have been out. The 2019 Pew Research Center poll survey showed that only 31% of Catholics who identify as Catholics believe that the host, the bread and the wine, actually become the body and blood of Jesus. Whatever the statistics are, you made the comment. You said, come on, you guys. And I thought, yeah, come on, you guys. But I would say this too, Betsy, for all of us who believe, we need to hit our knees and thank God that we believe. Faith is a gift. Faith that a little piece of bread becomes God is a gift. We don't arrive at that faith. You know this, Betsy, and you, Debbie, and all who are listening. We don't arrive at that faith, just because we decide to do so. We have to do some work. We have to understand it intellectually. We have to practice it spiritually. But I'm telling you, Debbie, those of us who do believe, we've all known people who believe fervently. I've had friends I was in the seminary with who no longer are practicing Catholics, don't believe in the Eucharist anymore. Mm-hmm. It just stuns the mind.
Right.
And yet we just really need to say what my mom used to say, but for the grace of God, mm-hmm. go I,
That's right.
Great call, Betsy. Yeah, go
yes,
ahead, Deb.
Thank you, Betsy, so very much. It is a gift, Jerry, and you're spot on that we need to be so grateful that we do believe and we do receive that gift. And if you're feeling, like you don't know where you stand with God, this is the time to open yourself up, especially on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart, to fill you, to give you that gift of faith, give you the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and really ask big with God, because that's what you're spot on, Jerry. I couldn't agree more, because I feel bad for the people that don't have that gift or recognize that gift or want that gift or see that gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. It really mm-hmm. is. So. If you're on the line, hang on. Suzanne, you're going to be next, followed by Stephanie and Kalana and Diane. And there's Matt Kabinski, is a busy guy today. The phone lines are usually very busy on this show every day, but especially when we have a chance to honor and reverence the Blessed Sacrament, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So if you are on the line, we're going to get you on. We're coming up against a break here in just a minute or so, and I wanted to get real quickly to a social media comment.
Yep.
Elizabeth, among many others watching, hello on YouTube. Hi, you guys. Elizabeth says, we went to the 4 o'clock showing. It was my husband and our two sons. There was a lady, a couple went, but about 20 minutes later, the couple left. And mm-hmm. Elizabeth says, Debbie, I got choked up, especially at the beginning of the movie. So,
wow.
It's really impacting people on a deep level.
Yeah. I wonder why they left, though. That's interesting.
Yeah. And Hope says, the movie was awesome, ! She says, I hope people stayed after the movie to watch the short film about Our Lady of Guadalupe by the Knights of Columbus. It was only 12 minutes long. So it's kind of nice that they worked that in as sort of a little double feature, Debbie.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I'm glad to know that. That's cool. I hope it goes back into the theaters for a longer stay. That would be wonderful. And then more of us can go see it. And that's, this is beautiful that we're having this topic today. Maybe it'll get people interested, and maybe we could keep this going. If you'd like to get in on this conversation, 833-288-3986. And it is our Real Presence show today. And Jerry, I'm loving this show. This is a great way to start the weekend.
Yeah, it really is. As Debbie says, don't get started with your weekend yet. We'll let you know when you can here in just a few minutes. Actually, no, stick around. Dr. Ray, the doctor, is in, and many other great shows leading us into the weekend. We love being on at this time of the day. And if you're not able to listen live right now, we have the encore at midnight Eastern time. So two times a day and anytime on demand on EWTN's website, EWTN.com, the app. Where else? This is a YouTube channel. You can catch Take Two with Jerry and Debbie just about any time, anywhere, and we are so happy about that. 833-288-3986. We're coming right back.
We're talking all things Eucharist today on our Real Presence show for the month of June. And this is the Sacred Heart of Jesus feast day. Beautiful day. First Friday devotions are in place. If you're going to Mass, please do it 9 consecutive times this year and receive those great promises from St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and the promises that Jesus imparted to her for the whole world. So That's all of us. Pretty special. But Jerry, before we get to Suzanne in Estes Park, Colorado, let me just share with our listeners big announcement. If you're listening to us on the Guadalupe Radio Network, they need to hear from you next week. They'll be airing their summer share-a-thon next week, starting on Tuesday. So if you're listening in one of their 45 plus stations, there's more than that, in Texas, Kansas, New Mexico, Alabama, Florida, Washington, D.C., or anywhere, please remember to support your EWTN Catholic radio station.
All right, Suzanne in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, listening on the Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi, well, thanks for your patience.
I just am calling because I wanted to share how blessed I felt today. The Eucharistic pilgrimage is in Colorado, and last night I was feeling kind of sad because I missed the Eucharistic movie and when it came to Colorado, and I found out that the pilgrimage was going to be in Boulder. And so I'm in Estes Park, and so I drove down to Boulder early this morning, and I was able to meet the priest and the people who were making the Eucharistic pilgrimage all the way. They started in California, and I got to go to the morning mass and didn't even realize it was First Friday. We had forgotten it was the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So, I mean, I just had so many blessings, and I got to speak to the priests that, you know, crossing the country, and I thanked them for what they were doing. And I met the most precious family. They had their 2 little boys, and they had a motorhome where they were following the Eucharistic pilgrimage across the country and, going everywhere that the pilgrimage went, and teaching their 2 boys, age 8 and 5, all about it. And I was just so inspired, and I feel so blessed, and thanking the good Lord for calling me to that. I had to share it.
Well, thanks for doing that. You were so blessed by that. For those who aren't familiar with what Suzanne is talking about, most of you are, I know, but the Eucharistic Congress, National Eucharistic Congress, is coming up in Indianapolis July 17th through the 21st, and in advance of that, there are 4 different routes, if you will, of just really people walking and doing pilgrimages with the Blessed Sacrament. There's the Marian route that started up in the north, the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton route that started in the northeast, St. Junipero Serra route that started in California, and the St. Juan Diego route that started in southern Texas. And they're all going to meet up in Indianapolis for the start of this Eucharistic Congress. And Suzanne, was there anything in your heart, you know, if I were to see or experience something like this, or just knowing that it's happening gives me kind of goosebumps to think that something like this is going on in our country right now. Do you share that kind of same sentiment?
Well, I just felt called. I just felt called to go there today, and I'm so very glad that I was able to be a part of it. And in his homily, the priest that was on the pilgrimage, he talked about being in Colorado, you know, water is an issue and people are always thirsty. And he ended his homily and said, "May you all be as thirsty for Christ as we are for water."
Wow. Well, that's certainly going to stay with you, right, Suzanne?
And I just feel like, you know, I was called to be there, and I just wanted, when y'all were talking about the real presence of the Eucharist and to call in, you know, I just thought that I would share what a blessing the Eucharist is, and this pilgrimage, and the young people. It gave me such inspiration, the young people that were making this trip across the country, you know, for the Holy Eucharist. And they liken it to, you know, when Jesus had the 12 apostles walking all over the country with him. They are crossing the country with him once again in his Eucharist.
Right. And they're taking it seriously, which they should, because it is the source and summit of our faith. And so this is powerful, and it had a lasting impact on you, Suzanne. You know, Betsy was sharing about the film, so was Michael of the Eucharist film. And see, this, all of these things are great reminders that we need to take our faith seriously. And it is a gift, like you said, Jerry, and we need to appreciate it. Thank you, Suzanne. God bless you. Thank you for gracing this conversation today. We so appreciate it.
Yeah. Please appreciate all of your patience today. We're hearing so many beautiful tributes to the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We'll get to you. Hang in there. Diane called back, was on, and then called back from Massachusetts, listening on our friends at the Station of the Cross. Hi, Diane. Thanks for getting back through.
Hi, how are you, Deb and Jerry?
Doing all right.
Hi, Diane.
So I have lots to share with you all and your viewers about my experience with the Eucharist. I will say two or three times in my life when I have been with people who are basically near the end of life, a couple of them were watching the remonstrance on TV, and such a peaceful calm came over them with my mom, who was 100 years old when she passed. She was not a very outwardly religious person, but I had the mass on for her on the laptop, and I had it in front of her, and all of a sudden her hand just went up towards the Eucharist.
Mm.
And that is something that was just not my mother. It was a very spiritual feeling that came over to me. Also, I have been at the Karlowitz Acutis exhibit, where they did talk about all the Eucharistic miracles worldwide. And one of the stories that the presenter shared was they had taken one of the Eucharist miracles to be validated. And when they brought it to the pathologist, he was going to call the police because he said to them, "Who did you just kill? Where did you get this heart? This is from a human heart. Where did you get this from?" It was just amazing that, you know, and then they explained to him. They didn't tell him beforehand where they had received the Eucharist from. They just gave him a portion of it, and he was able to identify, like you say, that it was a human heart based on the blood type and even the type that came from the left side, because that is basically kind of the vein of life, mm-hmm. and which the Eucharist is, you know, our life here. The other experience that I've had is a person who was in a prayer group with myself said that when she had fully prepared herself to receive communion, when she received it, it tasted like flesh to her.
Wow.
And she said she had never had that happen to her before. It was just like she was having a piece of flesh in her mouth. Mm. And I know when you were talking about the consecration, what I like to say is during the consecration, I do say when they're ringing the bells, "Thank you for giving up your body for us, Jesus, and then thank you for shedding your blood for us."
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
those are
beautiful.
Just some of my encounters with the Eucharist. One time when I was at Eucharist Adoration, I actually had to close my eyes, and I was able to see a vision of a heart. And there was also there a picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I just had turned my head to her as well, and I saw a heart over her as well. And it was just a very overcoming feeling, and I asked my spiritual director, I said, "What does that mean?" She said, "That's an anointing."
Mm-hmm.
So wow. I felt I had to share that with you on Sacred Heart and all about the Eucharist, and
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping, Dad, you're going to come on the pilgrimage with us to Italy.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an unbelievable experience for anybody that's interested in really getting to see them up close, all these Eucharistic miracles that have been
Right. Yeah, with Blessed Carlo Acutis making it very popular around the world, and we're so grateful to him. And now that he got his second miracle, he'll be canonized. It's what next year, right, Jerry?
Sometime, and yeah, it's going to be a jubilee year next year.
Jubilee,
yeah, 2025.
Yeah. Diane, powerful stories there. Thank you so very much for sharing with us, and everything you're saying. I mean, I can definitely confirm some of the details of it, especially when people are dying. That is so true. I've seen it too. Jerry, have you seen it? You probably, when you've done the chaplaincy work, mm-hmm. where when people are getting ready to transition, it is amazing how they will reach out to the Eucharist. They sit up, they're alert. It's incredible.
Well, they're reaching out to God, you know, their mm-hmm. creator. And that is the most sacred moment of our life. We all will get to that point. Right. We all will experience the most sacred moment of our life, and that will be our moment of death. And so let us all pray that we have, especially through St. Joseph, for a happy death and mm-hmm. a peaceful death, and we reach out to God as well. Okay, Stephanie mm-hmm. in Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network, is next. Hi, Stephanie. You've been most patient, and we appreciate that. Welcome.
No problem. Thank you. I just wanted to share my Eucharistic miracle. I'm not sure if I've shared it online with the show or not before, but I'm going on, I just celebrated my 17th year of marriage. It hasn't been perfect, you know, all roses. Mm-hmm. However, when I was discerning whether or not my relationship with my then boyfriend was going anywhere, I went and I spoke with my priest, who at the time was also my spiritual director. He was an Opus Dei priest. And we spoke around the feast day of St. Jose Maria Siva, which was June 26th.
Coming up, yeah.
And I told him, I said, you know, I have this wonderful boyfriend, long-distance relationship, who hasn't made up his mind as to where our relationship is going. At the time, I was 32, and, you know, the clock was ticking, mm-hmm. and I told my priest, you know, if I don't get married soon, I'm just going to go and become a Dominican nun. And he said, well, how much time can you give this young man? And I said, maybe 6 months. And he said, okay, I want you to go and pray before the Blessed Sacrament every single day for 6 months and discern it. Let God know your heart. And I did. And my husband proposed almost 6 months later on the Feast of St. Stephen's Day.
Wow. Wow.
So, I always remember that and I share it and I tell people, go to him. Mm-hmm. If you could go to adoration 15 minutes a day. My mother comes from a Mexican background, and an aunt of mine had given me a prayer book. I think it's called 15 Minutes with the Holy Sacrifice of Jesus. And it's basically a meditation book that takes you through the adoration process.
Wow.
And, mm-hmm. and whenever I have my little moments of distress, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and my husband then wasn't even Catholic or a baptized Christian. He was a member of the military, and we got a double dispensation and got married within 3 months of our engagement.
Mm-hmm. Amazing story. How often do you go back to that encounter?
I try to go as often as you know, at least weekly, and I share, you know, I tell anyone who will listen
sure.
the story.
Sure.
They're probably tired of it, some
no.
people, but I let them know that there's
yeah.
hope
yeah.
and, you know, that we need to remember and be patient
mm-hmm.
and learn to listen, you know.
Right. Wow. Okay. Yeah, be patient, get in front of the Lord, pray, persevere. Be determined, absolutely, and yeah, I mean, so many things you said in the details to discern properly. I mean, that's the way to do it. I mean, because I think sometimes people do jump into a vocation or a direction in life, and they haven't taken the time to be in front of the Lord to really process it out. But Stephanie, you did. Well, amazing story. I would keep telling it because this world gets very loud and it kind of overwhelms us. So we've got to get louder than the world, right, Jer?
Amen. Stephanie, God bless you. 17 beautiful years. You said not all perfect, but hopefully 17 more and then another 17 after that, God willing. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. We appreciate it. We go to Kenosha, Wisconsin next. Kalana has been waiting also very patiently. Welcome, Kalana, to our conversation about the Real Presence.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to share something with you that our priest had beautifully explained during a homily, was that when we receive the Eucharist, we are actually receiving the resurrected body of Christ, which is the pledge of our eternal salvation. And I thought, I had never really thought of that before, that it's the resurrected Christ. Because I used to see holy cards, there'd be an image of the Eucharist, and it'd be the baby Jesus, and it'd be Christ crucified, and different imagery, but I'd never seen one of the resurrected Christ in the Eucharist. And so now it makes even more sense to me why, when Scripture says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you, and why we have to do that, because we have to partake of the resurrected Christ. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share that with you and hear your thoughts on that.
Oh, don't get me started, Kalana. My thoughts would be, it could take us the rest of this show and many others, and Debbie, I'm sure the same for you as well. But yeah, you know, Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. And of course, after the resurrection, what does he do? He walks through walls, doors, you know, locked doors and things like this to be with his apostles and his disciples. And yes, his glorified body can do things that, you know, his initial earthly body could not do. But it's just a beautiful thing to realize. And I was, I've been watching on formed.org the series with Dr. Brant Petrie on the Eucharist. And he talked just yesterday, it was episode number 10, about the book of Revelation, where John sees the Lamb standing, looking as though it had been slain. And that's an image of what John was seeing, was the resurrected Christ in heaven there. So, mm-hmm. You know, beautiful, Deb, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's very powerful, this idea of, and it's just like the saints knew how to do this so well, and that's what we can do too, is enter into this connection, to stay connected through the Eucharist, and to bring us into that proper place of journeying in this world to get back to God. So we come from God, and we're supposed to try and get back to God. Well, God knew what we needed, and we needed him on a regular basis. And what is the best way to take him inside of us? Well, we naturally, as human beings, what do? We eat, right? We eat. That's how we take things inside of us, to nourish us, to sustain our bodies, to build us up, to keep us going, the fuel for the journey, the whole nine yards. And so he knew what we needed. It's unfortunate that so many people don't realize that, and they think it's almost too mystical. But that's how our God works, right, Kalana?
Absolutely. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. And the more we keep learning about Christ and what he did for us, I think it's going to bring us closer and closer to that realization. And just want to thank you for having this topic today. It's beautiful.
Oh, well, the topics are here for you, Kalana, and many times because of you, because the Take Two family give us suggestions, but we're happy to do the Real Presence show, and we're so happy that you became a part of it today. You're part mm-hmm. of the Take Two family, and thanks so much for being with us on the show today. Wow.
These are powerful calls. Okay, so Jerry, I am getting messages. They, some of our listeners want to just have me share real quickly about the First Friday devotions and the promises that were made to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. There's 12 promises. You can look them up online. Just keep in mind that the 12th promise is, I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who receive Holy Communion on the first Fridays in 9 consecutive months, the grace of final perseverance, they shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last moment. So I understand that we're getting late in the day in some parts of the country, so maybe Mass is over with at the parish for today, but catch Mass on radio or on EWTN television. And if you're on the West Coast, there's still time to go to the First Friday devotion and start this first of 9 and receive Holy Communion, really enter deeply into this devotion.
Okay. Let's get to as many calls as we can here. Linda in Houston, also another Guadalupe Radio Network listener. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
Welcome.
I had a very interesting event happen to me on my 75th birthday, which was March the 29th of 2023. I was at daily mass, and it was a small chapel. And when the priest held the Eucharist up at the consecration, the Eucharist turned into the infant Jesus.
Wow.
And I, you know, I was just, it happened so fast, my eyes couldn't track it. But it became the infant Jesus. And then when he was lowering, the infant Jesus floated into the Blessed Mother's hand, which she was sitting on first pew. And she turned her face to look at the baby. Her veil was in that way, so I could not see her face. But this is the first vision that I've ever had. It was on my birthday. I've been devoted to the rosary for 50 years. And I think it made me realize, for one thing, I have never thought of the Eucharist as the infant Jesus. If anything, it was the crucified Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that this did not come from my mind, because I had never, ever considered that. But after this happened, I've always focused on the Jesus' sacrifice of the Eucharist. But I realized as a mother that the Blessed Mother sacrificed her baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She sure did. That's why we say on this show so many times when parents are dealing with the loss of a child, no one has no one can relate to it better than our Blessed Mother can. You're very, very right, Linda. That was an amazing experience that you had. Thank you for sharing that.
On her birthday.
On your birthday. Very mm-hmm. special grace God gave you. Linda, thank you so much.
Wow.
Mike is driving through Ohio listening on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Mike. Welcome. Thanks for calling in. Mike, are you there? Mike, we wanted to get to you before.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yes, Jerry and Deb, thanks so much.
Sure.
I just wanted to relay a Eucharistic story. I'd gotten back from Afghanistan and was struggling pretty greatly with PTSD and going to daily mass. And I had taken the Eucharist and then was on my way to work. It was within 15 minutes. And I was saying a prayer. I was like, God, please take this burden from me. Please help cure me. And at that time, I got a vision of Divine Mercy Jesus with his hands outstretched. And I got to tell you, over time, it certainly did get better and certainly deepened my faith.
Wow.
Praise be to God.
Praise God, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes,
amazing.
It was, it lasted for about 2 or 3 seconds. It was transparent. I was driving down the road, but I couldn't be more thankful for that opportunity.
Well, and it's a gift. It goes back to Linda was just sharing on her birthday. She received a gift too, and you received a gift, Mike, and others that have had mystical encounters. They're very brief, but they're gifts to all of us, because we can have them impact our own life, but also share with others to inspire others. Jerry, this is what a great broadcast today on the first Friday on the Feast of the Sacred Heart.
Amen. God bless you, Mike. You have our prayers, and you have our deep, deep gratitude for your service to our country. Mike, thank you so very, very much. And Doug and Kathy, Diane, we are going to hear that closing music in just a moment. But Debbie, Diane, I wanted to say, let's go to Diane real quick. Diane, we got about 30 seconds, but you got news on the movie Coming Back? Hello, Diane?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, real quick, 30 seconds. You heard that the movie's going to be back in theaters?
Yes, I went to the official website. It says it's coming back June 18th and 19th.
Okay.
Wow, great. Thank you, Diane. We appreciate you doing that work for us and for the all of the Take-Two family. That is incredible. So let's fill those theaters on June 18th and 19th, right, Jared? Yeah, I'm going to definitely get my tickets early.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss it next time. I really had every intention of going, and like I said, things just got busy around the parish here. But Diane, thank you for giving us that information. Doug in Michigan, you were going to say that Jesus' real presence is active in your life. We're so happy to hear that. Bless you. Definitely call us back on another Real Presence show, Doug. We'd love to hear about that. Coming up on Monday, yeah, it's the weekend. Now you can get started with your weekend, as Debbie
That's
says.
That's right.
Do you sit down for family meals? Debbie, that's kind of a lost reality for a lot of couples and families.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a big way on Monday, so make sure you tune in. But Jerry is right. This is the Feast of the Sacred Heart, so now you can get started with your weekend. Tomorrow's the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I just love it. Catch us on the Spirit World. We have open forum tomorrow, Jerry, so I hope our Spirit World listeners tune in.
Awesome. Thank you, Take-Two family. Thank you, the show team. Today, that will be Matt, Charles, and Rich Jesse was on social media. Affiliates, thank you for carrying the show. Until Monday, have a beautiful and blessed weekend.